Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In our studio now is Bill Daly. He is, he's been a guest of this show before. I guess he's been a guest of most of our shows. And he is also running for mayor. His new ad is out. He's talking property taxes in that ad. We'll get to all of that in just a minute. Bill, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well, thank you.
You were at the National Cathedral yesterday.
Yes, my wife and I were there, and it was quite a moving state funeral for President Bush. Really reflected the best of America. And the Bush family and the way the entire service was laid out was a great tribute to their father.
Were you Commerce Secretary for him?
I was Commerce Secretary, but that's one of the first times he called me one day, called my office. My secretary came in and said, I think I hung up on President Bush. I said, what do you mean? She said, some guy was on the phone and said it was President Bush. He called back. He was in Maine, and the lobster fishermen had asked him to help on a problem they had that was in the Commerce Department. So that began a long, many conversations, meetings. He was a very kind and generous guy.
So then, with all due respect, yeah. How close were you? How did you actually get a ticket to the funeral?
He obviously put me on the list, my wife and I. I had visited with him in Maine a couple of years ago when we were vacationing there.
So you maintained a friendship over the years.
We maintained communications. I've got some great notes from him over the years. He was a great note writer.
Evidently.
But just that greatest generation who really sacrificed in their lives. They believed in country, faith, values, character, government, public service. And his family's have been an exemplar in their public service.
So a lot of us have been talking on and off the air about all elements of what yesterday was like, and literally, how do they do that? They must have been planning it in advance, and then tickets are issued? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, the family decides who comes. There are certain, the ambassadors are there. I think all 50 governors may have been invited, because it is a state funeral. But the military drives the process of planning, and they approach the ex-presidents shortly after they leave office.
Oh, really?
And begin the process.
Really?
Yeah. So obviously it's been almost 30 years for President Bush. So a lot of thought went into it, and down to the moment it's planned.
It was magnificent on TV.
Yeah, it was quite moving in person. Saw lots of people that have played major roles in the history of America and the world. But he really is the last of the global leaders of that generation.
Hmm. The subtext was, and when W spoke, he didn't speak to the current president or administration, but the subtext was the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Were you all feeling that they were saying goodbye not only to Bush, but maybe to an era?
Oh, I think there's no doubt that there was a goodbye to an era. And it wasn't focused on Trump. President Trump, there are lots of other things that have gone on over the last number of years in our body politic that are not attractive and are kind of contrary to what George Bush for most of his life stood for and what he tried to do. So I think there was inherent in the service was that goodbye to that generation. The Second World War, the struggles they had, even though he came from a very wealthy family. There was a certain kindness, gentleness, patriotism, about him as a human being that you don't see often today in politics.
How moving was his son's eulogy?
It was quite moving because I've known them and President 43, and they are incredibly close. They adored their father. They had their differences like all do with their parents and their mother, but they were extremely, extremely close. And I'm sure the presidency drew them even closer.
This is trivial, but name drop on me then. Governors, ambassadors, obviously all the living presidents.
Prince Charles, a bunch of Peyton Manning, sports stars, Greg Norman, golfers, if you're into golf, Phil Mickelson, lots of officials from his administration and other administrations, the Senate, most members of the Senate and many leaders of the House. And just a lot of family friends and people who work with him.
Who did you tend with?
My wife and I went.
So did you kind of elbow her and go, we rate? You know, hey, what do you know?
Yeah, we were truly honored. they had notified us a while ago that
really
that they wanted our current information, so you kind of knew what they expected to be coming, and we were honored. I had many interactions with him. That I've got some great memories of him, and I admired him greatly. Maybe didn't agree with all his politics all the time, but as a human being, I think that, and that's where we should start.
Yeah, that kind of buried the lead. I mean, maybe I didn't, but he's a Republican and you're a Democrat, so there's that. Yeah. I wonder what you would say then. If you were to be mayor of Chicago, would you have an attitude? How contentious would you be? How willing would you be to work across the divide? Talk about your body politic.
You know, my career has been in business. It is not. I'm not a career politician. I've never run for office before, even though I've been around politics. But I've tried to be one who tries to bring people together. And the labels of politics don't mean a lot to me if it's about getting something done. And you can't get something done unless you're willing to compromise. And so whether it was in the fight for NAFTA back in the early 90s on behalf of Bill Clinton, whether it was as Commerce Secretary when I had to work with the Republican Hill members and leadership around the country and in the business community who were mostly Republicans, or political leaders around the country who were many were Republicans, I think if you want to get something done, you've got to have an attitude of we have to come together. Much of our politics today obviously is divisive, and where has that gotten us?
Bill Daley's in our studio. You got all your signatures, and you got enough signatures?
Yeah, we got our signatures in. They're good.
They're all legit.
Legit, and I look forward to engaging about the issues and the future of this city over the next 3 months.
We did a podcast today that we do on Thursdays called The Mincing Rascals. Eric Zorn, Scott Standis, Justin Kaufman, Steve and I, and we were wondering if this business of signatures is even necessary. Some of the other candidates for mayor are arguing over the legitimacy of some of those signatures. Maybe that's kind of an antiquated way to get into the mayor's race.
Well, when I filed my petitions, I said we ought to reform the system. We ought to lower the number required. I don't think it ought to be just zero. But 12,500 is a high hurdle for many people. I think we ought to encourage people to ballot access is important to Democrats. I think we ought to lower the level, the numbers, and I think we ought to allow people to sign. Technically, today, you can only sign one. And sometimes people get in a race after someone signed a petition. Well, technically, that petition, the second one you sign, is not a good signature.
Yeah,
and I think people ought to be able to, we should not be afraid of participatory democracy.
Steve Bertrand, you are or are not right next to me.
Well, sure, I am, Mr. Daley. Don't ask John how many signature or petitions he signed.
I signed them all. I'm the friendliest guy.
But so look at what's wrong with that.
And because I don't know who I'm going to vote for right now. But if somebody to me is willing to work hard enough to advocate, if one of your people came to my door on a winter's day and said, "Hey, will you sign this?" I think I would, and then I'll figure it out.
Right.
You know,
and that's the way it should be. You will decide who you will vote for later on, but to give someone the opportunity to be on the ballot, I don't see that as a big issue, and I think we ought to do that.
What do you think of this Preckwinkle strategy of challenging a lot of the signatures? You could benefit from that.
I didn't challenge anyone. We looked at a number of them, and there were some that were rather questionable. But again, let's get on with talking about the real issues here. This is going to eat up, you know, and some people are great at the sort of process, politics, trying to catch people in a let's just talk about the future of this city.
Well, let's read this headline. Bill Daley promises property tax freeze in his first TV ad for Chicago mayor. I won't play all of it, but Elif, can you play for us a clip from Mr. Daley's first ad?
Let's get real, Chicago. Crime and taxes are up. While fancy buildings rise inside the loop, families are being driven out of our neighborhoods every day. Bill Daley has spent his whole life in Chicago. It's in his blood. He knows Chicago only thrives when all our 77 neighborhoods thrive. Bill will put a moratorium on tax hikes to keep families in their homes. And he'll make getting guns and gangs off our streets priority number one. Bill Daley for mayor. No more excuses.
Are we able to do, will the mayor actually be able to do that, or is that read my lips, no new taxes?
No.
And then they raise taxes.
No, I've said that I will not raise property taxes.
Is that your call alone to make, though, if you're mayor?
Well, the city council can have an opinion of it, but I can also veto their, I have to put a budget together for 2020 And that will have to be without property tax increases. And if at some point in my tenure I have to raise property taxes, I will do cuts to the expenses of government before I do that. And what I'm trying to raise here, Sean, is the fact that we have got to deal with these issues. At the state level, we've got a new state government coming in, a whole legislature that's totally Democratic. I've talked last week about different options on revenue and reforms on the table.
I want to get to that.
So, but we've got to call the question. But the property homeowners in Chicago, when they get their taxes next June based upon new assessments, are going to be shocked at their tax increases. And we cannot keep pounding on them.
Okay, so marijuana?
Yeah, put it on the table, marijuana, casinos.
Legalize it recreationally, and then we'll take the tax revenue from that. Casinos we've already got, but you want the city to operate one?
Well,
or how would that work?
There's been, I believe a casino in Chicago must be considered. I think that ought to be on the table, marijuana, commuter tax, real estate transfer tax, and reforms.
Talk to me about, whether the last thing, I hear you, but we could do the whole show on reforming the pension system. Talk to me about how a commuter tax would work.
Well, I don't have a plan that I've laid out. I've said we ought to look at it, see where it's worked.
But typically means if you work in the suburbs, and you work in the city, you're not paying our property taxes, therefore you should pay some sort of stipend to work in the city.
Right.
Does the employer typically pay that, or would that come out of my paycheck?
Well, to be honest with you, I have not laid out a plan, whether it's comes out of your paycheck or the employer pays it. But many of the people, obviously, who come in from the suburbs into the city enjoy the benefits of the cost of the city.
With you on that, but here's my worry
for
you. But is the city in a position of power on that? I mean, would that just encourage a business to say, fine, we'll go to DuPage?
Well, they may, but I think we've got to talk about these things. I'm not saying I'm for it, but if we're going to try to solve our long-term fiscal problems, all of these things, there are some people who believe it's just about revenue. Just go raise property taxes. To me, that's a non-starter right now, okay? And others will say, just raise all the other taxes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if we're going to deal with this in a serious way, everything's on the table, including trying to figure a way to reform the pension problem. But it must be done together. We can't just keep doing the same thing we're going to do, find a one-year fix and another year fix. And all mayors, over many years, are part of trying to kick the can down the road. And Mayor Emanuel, to his credit, has tried over the last couple of years. And they've all failed, the solutions. So, but we're at a crisis point. The truth is, the state's in worse shape than we are on this issue. So let's all join together, be adults, got a whole new state legislature, a new governor. Every office holder in the state is, at the state level, is Democratic, and the legislature is overwhelmingly Democratic. So there cannot be any more excuses. We wasted 4 years, the last 4 years.
Steve, what were you thinking?
Well, as you're talking, Mr. Daly, the CTU has just endorsed Tony Preckwinkle in the race, and I just wonder how important you think that will be in the voting.
Look, I have three sisters who were teachers. My daughter was a teacher. I have enormous respect for the teachers. I get the fact that, as I read the article, President Preckwinkle basically endorsed the CTU's plan, and they endorsed her. So that's fine. That's their right. But I believe we need to have a better education system. The teachers have to be respected. They have to be dealt with. And I have enormous respect, as I stated. But, you know,
that's it's a lot of votes, right? And it's a pretty powerful union.
It is a powerful union. But I think there'll be teachers who will appreciate, hopefully, my honesty to them. And we have to quit lying to them and telling them that we could solve all these problems without some pain. And they surely know that, the individual teachers. I get the union leadership. I get what unions are about. They're politicians. They run for office, the leadership of these unions. So I get that. But I will talk to the teachers. I've already spent enormous number of hours around the city talking to teachers in settings, in homes, and in organizations, in conversations, just one-on-one, and listen to their concerns, listen to what they think ought to be done. Because, again, I have enormous respect for the job they do. We expect enormous things from them.
77 neighborhoods in Chicago and 77 people running for mayor. And Bill
Daly
is one of the better-known names in the hunt. Good luck to you. Thanks for
coming
into our
studio
again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
His new campaign spot is out, and he's talking about property tax.